Bay.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, by the way, 800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, totally free, so enjoy those on us. That again, freetalklive.com. Some pretty big news hit yesterday. It's big in the world of libertarians, which we're in that world, and so I think it's worth reporting on. In fact, some of the people outside of the libertarian world might be familiar with who this guy is. His name is Steve Cubby, and we've had him on the show in the past. You may know him as a medical marijuana advocate. As you may or may not know, he has, it's adrenal cancer, I believe is the name of his disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nasty, nasty little version of cancer that basically floods his body with adrenaline at all times. And he found that smoking marijuana helps him with his problem. And ever since he discovered that, he'd been smoking marijuana. Of course, the state government didn't like that. And, you know, the federal government didn't like that. And they went after him. He was living in California, running for governor at that time as a Libertarian Party candidate. This was back in the late 90s. Anyway, it was a decade-long process for him fighting the government on these marijuana charges, amongst other charges, growing pot, that sort of thing. And he won. He came out and emerged victorious from his odyssey, and now he's moving on with his life, continuing his life of activism, continuing to spread the word about medical marijuana, marijuana in general, and liberty, because he's a pro-liberty kind of guy. In fact, he had thrown his hat into the ring as a libertarian presidential candidate for the year 2008, earlier this year or sometime last year. Now, the Libertarian Party doesn't select its presidential candidate until the actual year of the election at the party's convention. So we're not going to know until next year who the Libertarian Party's presidential candidate is going to be.
I hear that George Phillies is a front runner. I mean, I met him at the Liberty Forum, and seems to be a principled libertarian guy. Sounds good, but I knew that Steve Cubby had a bit more press.
Steve Cubby's got the name. He's got the
name in libertarian circles, not certainly from a national standpoint.
He's got the name in marijuana circles as well. I mean, so he's got a large following outside of the libertarian circles. Mm-hmm. In addition, nobody knows who George Phillies is.
Libertarians do
outside of the Libertarian Party,
right?
And Steve Cubby, he's a little bit more.
Professor, I believe.
Who, George Phillies?
I believe so.
I don't know much about him, but I do know that Steve Covey is, he's a pretty sharp dude, from what I can tell. Anyway.
He seemed cool when we had him on the show.
Here's the news. From DailyPaul.com, Tom Knapp reporting, citing overwhelming support from his own party's members and lackluster response to libertarian presidential campaigns, Steve Covey today endorsed U.S. Representative Ron Paul's campaign for the Republican Party's 2008 presidential nomination. Cubby, a candidate in his own party's presidential contest, made the endorsement in an interview from his home in Mendocino County, California. He says, quote,
Mendocino.
He says, quote, I am not and have never been a Republican, says Cubby, who's 60, best known for his work for cannabis legalization on behalf of medical marijuana patients. For me, the Libertarian Party has always been and remains our last hope for achieving freedom through the American political process. And until recently, my position was the Libertarian Party needed to stick to its own guns, stake out its own territory. But sometimes, a special situation comes along. Recent polling shows Ron Paul garners the support of about 70% of Libertarian Party members, and the LP's frontrunners, including Cubby, clustered together in the 2 to 3% range among those same members. So when the polling was done, there is no
Ron
clear...
Paul comes out 70%, the rest
right.
of them get 2 or 3%
exactly.
each.
That polling, Paul's much higher media profile and fundraising reports show that Paul has raised nearly 100 times as much money as any of his libertarian competitors, convinced Cubby that this is just such a situation. He says, I'm still running for president. My campaign's first television commercial will debut shortly. I'm continuing to debate my opponents, attend public events as a candidate, and appear on talk radio to make my case. There are important things that need to be said, and I'm saying them. Dr. Paul and I disagree on some issues that I would like to skyline, and I firmly believe that I'm the best candidate to represent the party, come next November. But when 70% of your own party believes so strongly in a candidate that they're willing to cross party lines to support him, at least until he's out of the running, you owe it to them to back their play.
So he's running for president currently, and he backs Ron Paul?
That's correct.
Wow, that's a strange set of circumstances.
Cubby states that if his fellow freedom activists' long-shot bet pays off and Ron Paul becomes the Republican nominee, he will withdraw, ask the party to nominate none of the above at its national convention, and work as a volunteer on Paul's general election campaign. He says, quote, "And I'm urging my fellow libertarians to approach this in the same way. But at the same time, I'll continue preparing to give the LP the best presidential campaign I can give it if that doesn't work out." Pretty amazing guy. I mean, he's a stand-up dude, Steve Cubby.
Well, I think that largely libertarian presidential candidates have been educators. They've been out there trying to educate the American people on what libertarianism is.
Absolutely.
I don't think that too many of them had much of a shot. Certainly none of them have gotten elected or even gotten more than a million votes up to this point.
It's been a long time. There was one candidate that did crack a million. It was Ed Clark in 1980.
Congratulations, Ed.
He was a wealthy, wealthy man. So he was able to self-finance a lot of his campaign.
Excellent. But, you know, you've got to say, the fact is, Harry Brown, his candidacy reached you.
That's correct.
You became a libertarian based on having heard Harry Brown's message.
Pretty much, yeah.
And largely, you set up this radio show. And not necessarily to be a libertarian, but you did set up this radio show, and Harry Brown, having met you, basically made the biggest real libertarian radio show in the nation. And your message has reached me even before we went on the air, so I became a libertarian based on Harry Brown's presidential run in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And your message reached me, and I became a libertarian because of Free Talk Live. So.
Right. So
and so on and so forth.
So Harry Brown's 2000 run put a lot of things in motion. I mean, how many people? What have we done for the free? What has Free Talk Live done for the Free State Project? You know, a great deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many people have we reached with the message of liberty? We've read email after email, and sometimes we often don't read them that we get. You know, saying
more often than not, we don't read.
Yeah,
them.
I became a libertarian because of Free Talk Live. Well,
I just got one today.
Yeah, I mean, we can't read them all.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just a bunch of self-aggrandizing crap on the air.
You can listen to Hannity if you want to listen to that
crap.
Yeah,
you can hear Rush Limbaugh if you want to hear that crap. Not here. So, you know, I think that they're important. I think that the presidential runs are important. I just don't think that there's much of a chance that they're going to win.
By the way, speaking of Hannity, I heard a brilliant call by one of the Ron Paul supporters to his show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posted it on the internet, and the caller structured his call so well, because he's a Ron Paul supporter, but he didn't let on about that until the... in fact, he didn't let on about it ever. What he did was he called up Hannity and said, "Hey, Sean, did you hear that the military members, they donated very heavily on the Republican side? Like, as far as, you know, just Republicans versus Democrats." Mm-hmm. And, of course, that got Sean all excited, right?
Whee!
"Ah, military, yeah!
Kill people, you know? Yay!"
And then he went on, and, you know, he fed Sean, you know, the line very slowly, inch by inch. And then he said, "Hey, did you hear about who the number one candidate was as far as military donations?" And, of course, he didn't know. And
I can't believe he didn't know that.
He asked him who it was.
It must have been the timing of it. I mean,
yeah, he asked him who it was, and he said, "Well, believe it or not, it was Ron Paul." And you could hear Hannity just in the... Well, Ron Paul, and then he, you know, took some shots at Ron Paul because he had the opportunity at that point.
Anti-military shots, that'd be great.
I don't know, Ray. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he's just such a... Of course, you know, the guy to get on the show had to sort of give Hannity a little bit of a on-air fellatio.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he did it really well. He really did a great job of slipping Ron Paul's name in onto to Hannity's show, which, of course, Hannity did not like that at all. He quickly ended that phone call after asking him if he was a Ron Paul supporter, and he then responded, "Well, I'm still considering things." You know that's not the case. He's a Ron Paul supporter.
Likely not.
Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. So, Steve Cubby, hell of a guy. Congratulations to him. In fact, some people are suggesting that maybe Steve Cubby would make a nice running mate for Ron Paul.
I've heard people suggest that. I don't know.
If Ron Paul gets the nomination, I think that'd be an interesting... That would really make an interesting candidacy. You know, Ron Paul, the Republican, with Steve Cubby, the, you know, the man who made a name for himself in the marijuana legalization movement.
What if it was the guy that won the Libertarian nomination? I mean, whatever, you know, Ron Paul just took whoever the Libertarian nominee was.
Maybe. I'm not sure. He may have to announce sooner than that. I'm not sure. More on the way. You can take control. It's Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during the U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
I need to do something about my dry heels. After a pedicure, they look great. Then I have to go right back again because my feet get dry so quickly.
Haven't you heard about Calex ointment? I use it regularly on my heels and they stay looking great. And my feet feel as good as they look.
What's that name again? Wait, I'm getting my pen out.
It's Calex. C-A-L-L-E-X.
What makes Calex ointment so different?
It's got these natural enzymes that quickly exfoliate dry, cracked feet and leave your feet feeling soft and smooth, just like a baby's bottom.
For soft, smooth heels and feet, use enzyme-rich, moisturizing Calex ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and found in the foot care section of Walgreens, Long's, Snyder's Drug, Bilo, Car Drug, HEB grocery stores, medicine shop pharmacies, and Rite Aid.
Hey, here's a drugstore. I'll be right back. I'm getting some Calex for my heels.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, your show. You bring up anything. Toll free, 800-259-9231. SACL CAI. Toll free line for you. That is 800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, archives included, an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website. Download them for free at freetalklive.com.
The Republican Liberty Caucus welcomes new members in the pursuit of individual rights, limited government, and free enterprise principles, all within the GOP. Visit rlc.org and click Join Us Today. We'll find liberty together. That's rlc.org.
Let's go to the phones to the fun. Daniel in Ontario, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I just got through listening to yesterday's podcast, and I got so fired up about the issues that I had to call in right at the top of the show.
Okay.
That's our job.
First, I'd like to say about that that gentleman who wouldn't accept the idea of self-ownership, there is another way. Pardon me?
Yeah, Nathan, the caller in the early part of yesterday's show.
Yeah, there's another way to go about proving property rights to someone who doesn't accept self-ownership.
Okay.
What you can say is, in order to support property rights, you don't have to support self-ownership. All you have to support is nonviolence. Because you can approach it this way. You can say, do you believe that it's violence to restrain someone against their will, to, say, arrest their hands or otherwise impede their ability to work? And they're obviously going to say yes. And then you can say, well, what's the moral difference between stopping them from building something with their hands and taking it away after they've built it? In other words, it's just as much violence to affect someone's creation as it is to affect them themselves.
Interesting approach.
I don't know if it'd be quite have quite the impact. But then again, I'm not a person who doesn't believe in property rights, so therefore, maybe it wouldn't affect me and it would affect somebody else. I don't know.
Well, this guy, he was claiming to be a Buddhist, and they enjoy the idea of nonviolence. And this is the way I would approach it. If you believe in abridging someone's property rights, then at the same time you must believe in restraining someone from building things with their own hands. You must believe in arresting someone's ability to perform their actions, and by extension, even you could say then you must believe in arresting even their bodily functions, stopping their heart. Isn't it the exact same thing as violence?
Very good, Daniel. So what else do you have on your mind tonight?
Well, I also wanted to rebut that other talk show host that called in at the end.
Charlie from KSCO.
Yes.
Yes. He was saying that if you went down the street and you asked people if the United States of America existed, then they will all say yes. But it's sort of like I'm an atheist myself, and I sort of view the existence of the state in the same way I view the existence of God. And
absolutely. They're both man-created fantasies.
Yeah, I say that if you went down the street and you asked people, do you believe that I'm the president, they would say no. And you just say, but I have this signed document from a bunch of men who say that I am your president and you owe me tax money. They would say that you're crazy. And just like people who believe in God, they are also atheists to everyone else's religion. So they have to justify why they don't believe that you are the president, but they can't do that without at the same time debunking their president and their state and their beliefs.
I sort of see where you're coming from on that.
Why don't you run us through that scenario, supposing I said the same thing. How would somebody go about debunking that I am, in fact, the president?
Like, it's not so much debunking that you are the president, it's debunking the fact that you have the moral right to do things in the president's role. Yeah, in other words, you have the right to use force, to initiation of force against other people. And if you came to someone and you said, I'm going to use initiation of force against you because I'm the president and this is the moral right that I have, then, like, if you walked up to anyone on the street, just like you were saying, anyone on the street, they would say that you're crazy. A signed document doesn't give you the right to take things from me. A signed document from some men before I was even born doesn't give you the right to aggress against me in any way.
But then they would just say, well, I know you're not the president because I didn't have a chance to vote for you, but I could vote for somebody else. I voted for George Bush or John Kerry or something like that.
I suppose that's a bit of a snafu, but let's say that you give them the chance right there. Say we're voting among me and my buddy. My buddy here, he's going to be your president or I am. You got the choice. You know, if you don't like it, pick him.
Very good, Daniel. Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. I thought it was funny last night because we were talking about, you know, the idea of nation states and do these things really exist? And, of course, I was taking the making the point that, no, they don't. They only exist in the minds of people. There is no actual nation state. The fact that a bunch of guys got together in a room a couple hundred years ago and wrote some stuff down on a piece of paper doesn't create anything in reality except for a piece of paper with some writing on it. So just because a bunch of people have come to believe that there's something else besides that doesn't make it true. It's a logical fallacy. Argumentum ad populum. The argument from popularity, basically.
Right.
And there have been all kinds of popular things in the past that have been debunked and disproven. And this is one of those common misconceptions. It is a myth. Government is a myth that a lot of people, unfortunately, believe in. And if it's true that a bunch of guys sitting around in a room writing things on paper can create a government, well, then why don't we go ahead and get 50 people together, 50 guys. We'll sit around in a room. Maybe we'll add a few ladies into the mix as well, since we're, you know, here in the 21st century. Let's get 50... people together in the same room. We'll write up ourselves a constitution. We'll all sign it. I still get to actually see. Did you ever find out whether or not the constitution was signed by anyone?
Yeah, 40 people.
Right. So let's get 50 people. So we've got 10 more people than signed the original constitution of the United States. We'll get them all together in the same room, write up our own constitution, and then we've got our own government, right?
Well, the delegates to the Second Constitutional Convention were at least voted on and sent by groups of people that they were representing.
Oh, I'm sure we could find some groups of people that are willing to do that sort of thing. I mean, that would essentially be the same exact process, and apparently we'd be able to bind all future generations just by sitting around in a room together.
Your group of men did not bind together a military and fight a war against the people that had decided they were in charge. I mean, essentially, they won the rule by fighting off the British. You know, I'm not sure that I agree that agreement, which is what I would like to call this rather than a myth, you know, things exist in the world of agreement, whether they exist because, you know, like marriage. My wife and I have nothing to, you know, there is no marriage in our house, but we are married. We both agree that we are married as opposed to...
Well, you both signed some paperwork that said you were going to get married, so you each consented to this concept of a marriage, whereas the only people that consented to the concept of the government were those 40 men that signed that piece of paper.
I think that most Americans would consent currently. If you're given the choice, would you rather have no government at all or the government we currently have?
I wonder about that, Mark. That's an excellent question, and I don't know if I'll go out on that limb.
Okay.
Because most people don't bother voting, right?
I still feel like Mark is right, that most people would choose a government over no government.
They would
I'm sad to say it.
When they say the government, the flag, you know, say, would you like the United States government and then show the flag next to it? It depends on how you PR this. I mean, if you show George Bush's face next to it, then you're going to have some problems. But if you put the flag next to the, you'll mark this box, then you'd probably be better off.
Yeah, do you want government or do you want freedom? It's your choice. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
You want to lose weight, but there's no way you want to resort to pills or shakes that are full of chemicals or drugs with harmful side effects. We know diets don't work. That's why there is a fat loss patch. The fat loss patch is a self-adhesive dietary aid worn daily that slowly releases all natural ingredients into the skin. The result is a safe and easy way for you to increase your energy levels, maintain a healthy body weight, and curb those horrible sugar cravings, all without irritating side effects or loss of muscle. Just peel it off, stick it on, and live your life. The patch is safe, effective, and clinically tested. Also, the fat loss patch is the most unique product and business opportunity to ever hit the U.S. and international markets. Join as a U.S. or European customer or distributor in this much-needed and fast-growing business. For more information, visit patchmeeting.com or call Judy at 800-766-2133. That's 800-766-2133.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. You sacrifice yourself to give it every chance at success. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. taking with it your personal assets like your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. In fact, you can do it in just 10 minutes. And there's an easy way to find out more. Just request a free guide today and learn about the wonderful benefits of incorporation from the Company Corporation. We don't offer legal or financial advice, but we have been helping people incorporate for over 100 years. Call 1-800-497-5991. Protect your family and personal assets by forming a corporation or a limited liability company. Take your first step by requesting a free guide. Call 1-800-497-5991. 1-800-497-5991. That's 1-800-497-5991.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000 watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company that provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyzed Plus water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyzed water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyzed Plus Alkalinizing Miracle Rejuvenating Water Concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's NUTRI with an I, medical.com.
News, politics, sports, cars, home improvement, health, and everything in between. We've got you covered. You're listening to the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
That's 1-800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com. The place to go. The wiki is there. We got lots of user-created content. That's what the wiki is all about. You can get in there and change virtually anything that you see. You can add to it. Add your whole own little section to it if you want to. We've got over 1,375 pages, all created by listeners just like you, and it's totally free. Wiki, that's W-I-K-I, wiki.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones to John, listening in Ohio on WAIS. Hello, John.
Yeah, hello. You know, these absurd arguments about free markets here, they are interesting, but they tend to get tedious.
What do you mean?
Human society cannot function without a government
Why
of some
that, sir?
Sort. Even the most primitive tribes have their group of elders that they turn to. And there is such a thing as a social contract between the governed and the government.
No, there's not. Where's the contract, and when did you sign it?
Well, I signed it when I... protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. The Constitution, not the government.
When did you
the
sign
the Constitution
that,
is, my birthright.
I don't think you quite answered.
A citizen of the United States. And the backbone, muscle, and blood of the United States government, or the United States people, is the Constitution. And,
well, the Constitution is the set of rules,
well,
John, that the government is run by.
Name me one society that had free marketeership with no government that prospered for any length of time.
Well, there, the history of mankind has been a history of oppression, and so governments have been, they've been with us forever. So I can't answer that question for you because there have always been people in search of power over others, and that's something that
I think
we need to get away from.
So if you're in search of free marketeership, you're going to have to search for a different species than the human species.
Well, so you just accept the idea that people should be
in the makeup of the Homo sapien to live totally peacefully with his neighbor. Therefore, governments are formed to provide security. So
but that's
that
not
the
what they
government,
do. Sorry, John. I mean, that's only in theory. That's only the concept
no, that is,
and the theory
that is
of
the
government.
Practice.
No, the practice
the
is government. No, sorry, John. The practice is that government destroys your life and your property in order to so-called protect it. It infringes on your liberty in order to protect it. And it's a huge paradox.
Well, it's the people who have to keep control of the government.
That much is
and
supposedly true.
That happens
true.
By revolution in our society. It happens by the vote. And
well, the people, would you agree with me that the people haven't been doing a very good job of that in this country?
Well, of course not, because, like you said, there are people who are out, you know, to line their pockets on the public's goods, which is why free marketeership is not a human adaptable creation. Have a good
so
day.
So you, thanks for the call. So John accepts the idea that that violence is necessary for humans to get along with one another. And I think that's it's a little primitive.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that we can function without a government. It seems from here we certainly can't go to there. Okay? Would you give me that we can't go where we are today to free marketeership?
Well, there needs to be an education process, and people need to understand the blessings and the benefits of liberty. So, of course, it's not something that can happen overnight, but should that be our goal? In my opinion, it absolutely should. The abolishment of violence between human interactions should be an absolute goal.
Well, and I would think that John likely would be in agreement with you, myself, you and myself, that a smaller government is more efficient and more moral than the current government that we have. You know, the bigger the government is, the more crap that it gets involved in, the more things it screws up. Now, I am by no means a free marketeer, and I don't know whether it would work. I'm scared of whether it would work or not. But I can see the moral arguments that you make, and he didn't make any moral arguments against, you know, free marketeership.
Nor did he answer my question about the social contract that he claimed to have signed.
Right. That was what I was going to bring up, and that's, I hear the social contract argument all the time, but anybody who uses that doesn't understand how a contract works.
No.
And it's that both parties are in agreement, both parties sign. And I never signed anything that said I agreed to do anything.
Well, you see, the social contract isn't like other contracts, Julia.
Well, then
it's
it shouldn't
out there
be called
the
contract.
It's out there in the ether, and it's somewhere out there, and you've agreed to it at some point in your life. You just didn't remember agreeing to it. Oh, your parents agreed to it for you, and that's good enough when it comes to the social contract.
I actually worked with some crackpot who told me he had seen the social contract, and I asked him to bring it to me, and he couldn't.
Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
About the social contract, would you agree that a murderer should be put in prison?
Presuming that
punished,
presuming that the murderer was someone who is a danger to others, and that it wasn't a mistake made, or
that's what the definition of murder is.
I think that there would be an appropriate situation for that, though, if the person seemed like he was willing to make amends and he was an upstanding member of society. I don't necessarily think he should be in prison. I think he should be made to pay restitution.
So
the only people
that
should be imprisoned
are
dangerous
people. You think that a murderer
people.
Should be punished?
Made to be pay restitution,
now,
yes.
Now, how do you think, down that murderer never signed a piece of paper that says, I will not murder anyone.
That's okay. There's common law.
How can the force of everyone's will, which is what this common law is, common law doesn't exist. It is
a
fantasy that you have created. Now, how does this force of common law bind this murderer to the obligation not to murder people? I mean, how is it that society comes up with the ability, the moral ability to be able to punish this murderer for what he has done?
Well, because people want to live, and they see that the man took away, so that person took away someone's ability to live, so therefore he's essentially given up his freedom to live at the same time. And, you know, that's a simple concept.
It is a simple law to understand. Absolutely. I would agree with you that common law is the sort of law that we should have in this country. But at the same time, you know, the argument against a social contract is the same one that you have just made for society being able to force a murderer to be punished.
The argument for common law, I see where you're coming from, Mark. You're saying that common law is a fantasy, and you're right. It's a fantasy created and accepted by, you know, 99% of the population, with the exception of the psychopaths out there.
Sociopaths.
That disagree
with it. Politicians who don't think that it applies to them.
Whoever it is, whichever sociopath or psychopath that just wants to harm and kill and rape and murder.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, since most people don't want to rape and kill and harm, then those people will be controlled by those who believe otherwise. Let's continue with the phone calls and talk to Carl in Montreal. You're on Free Talk Live. Carl.
Hey, I agree with that earlier caller. You know, I don't believe in having no government because, I mean, it would be anarchy, but I don't, you know, I agree with the other caller that, you know, these people who get together, put some agreement together, and they put themselves into position of power, and then they claim to represent the people, and they usurp power, and their later generations come along and say that they're protecting us, and, you know, they try to make money off of these ideas, and like religion, too. They claim to represent, you know, these pastors, imams, or other, whatever leaders there are, claim to represent these holy books, and then they go out and then they do these horrible things, and they say that they represent God, but they act the exact opposite. And I sort of agree with him. See, I'm a believer, but I don't agree in the so-called church because of all the horrible things that it's done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with a lot of what governments do because they claim to protect us, yet they do horrible things and oppress people. And
That's government's job. I mean, that's what it does. Government can't really do anything very well besides oppress and kill and maim and destroy freedoms and lock people in jail cells and do awful things to people in general. Thanks for the call, Carl. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231 of the SACL CAI toll free line for you. See, the thing with common law is you don't have to agree to it, whereas the social contract is supposedly something you agreed to. More on the way. You can take control. It's Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Oh, those summer nights and those summer electric bills. How would you like to save money this summer on your electric bill and sleep better than ever? Well, now you can with the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. The Bedfan will allow you to raise your thermostat several degrees and still sleep cool. This works by delivering a gentle breeze between your sheets, thus keeping your body cool and comfortable. Doug from Austin, Texas writes,
I like it to be very cold while sleeping. Since purchasing the Bedfan, I've been able to turn the thermostat up from 68 to 78 degrees, and I've never been more comfortable. My electric bill this month compared to the same month last year is over 27% lower. I couldn't be happier with your product.
Maybe it is time you started thinking about trying the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. If you're a hot sleeper, you will love it. If you want to lower your electric bill, you will love it too. Go to Bedfan.com and try the remarkable Bedfan yourself. That's Bedfan.com or call 210-632-8280. That's 210-632-8280. The Bedfan is on sale for a limited time, so don't delay. Remember, Bedfan.com or 210-632-8280.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company that provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyzed Plus water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyzed water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyzed Plus Alkalinizing Miracle Rejuvenating Water Concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231. SACL, C-A-I, toll-free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so do enjoy those on us. And if you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, then you should go and shop with us at the Free Talk Live store. Just go to store.freetalklive.com to make your purchases of all kinds of spiffy Free Talk Live branded merchandise. See what I mean by heading over to store.freetalklive.com, and now you can save time and money on common legal matters. Created by top attorneys, LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like your will or living trust in minutes. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL to save 10%. That's FTL, like Free Talk Live. LegalZoom.com. So, Mark, you brought up a really good point, and one that I don't think has ever been brought up on the show before. We were talking about social contracts, and you pointed out, well, you know, what's the real difference between the social contract and common law? Common law is sort of this concept that is out there somewhere, and social contracts are also this concept that's out there somewhere and not really ever written down anywhere, except common law you can write down. It's a very simple concept. Don't do harm to others or their property. You know, and that's where actually, this is interesting. I found this out recently that the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse, that came about in common law times. It was in reference to common law. So the idea was that, well, if you're ignorant of common law, that's no excuse for being violent or awful towards people.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone can understand what common law is. Everyone inherently knows, unless they're psychopaths, what common law is, what's right and what's wrong, that sort of thing. So they've taken that ignorance of the law is no excuse, and they've bastardized it by applying it to statutory law, man-made laws, which, of course, no one could possibly know what all of those are. It's a physical impossibility to know all of the man-made laws.
Sure.
And same thing with the social contract. It's impossible to know what the social contract says because it doesn't exist. Common law, while you're correct in saying that it doesn't exist, Mark, it's a concept, it's at least something that you can enumerate. It's something you can explicate, explain to people very simply. The social contract is up to interpretation. Anyone can say anything they want about the social contract. You told me during the break that the social contract is the sum of all of the man's laws in existence today.
Essentially, that's true. I mean, but that's sort of what you sign up for with the social contract, is that you're supposed to abide by all the laws that we've come up with through this democratic republic that we have going today.
Right. Well, I didn't come up with those laws, nor did I sign an agreement saying I would abide by them, and nor could I possibly know what all those laws are to abide by, should I even want to abide by them in the first place.
Right. I understand that. But exactly the argument that one makes for forcing someone to abide by common law is exactly the argument that one would make to force someone to abide by the social contract.
And I think I just pointed out that it's not exactly the same, that there's some significant differences there.
I don't think that there really are. I mean, other than the fluidity of the social contract, in that one has, our politicians can change the social contract tomorrow, essentially it's the same thing. You know, I didn't sign any agreement to abide by your common laws that you're talking about here.
That's okay. You don't have to. There's no one ever said that common law was an agreement. They never said it was a social contract.
Apparently it is.
It's not a fair comparison.
If you're able to visit force upon me because of my violation of your common laws, then apparently it's some kind of agreement.
I sort of feel like common law is kind of a very simple concept, and it's really It's really easy to understand. I mean, the basic principle is, I think most people won't hurt others because in return they don't want to get hurt. I mean, I don't really see how that's similar to the social contract at all.
It's not similar to the social contract. The only similarity is that they're both concepts.
Right.
You know, but the difference between the concepts is quite vast. It's incredibly vast. Let's continue with the phone calls. Let's go to Frank in New York. You're on Free Talk Live, Frank.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey,
and Julia.
What's on your mind?
There are a lot of problems with definitions tonight in this very interesting discourse. First of all, you guys are all wrong regarding what common law is. Common law was the tradition or precedent that existed before written law was codified and found its way into codified law through history and through the application of judicial enforcement of that quote-unquote concept, common law. Now, what's very interesting is if we look at the notion of the social contract is a philosophical concept that has been actually articulated and applied within the praxis of politics and statecraft. If you look at the social contract that's so frequently mentioned in Western democratic states or the United States, you immediately begin to think of Montesquieu, Rousseau, John Locke, Thomas Jefferson, and the creation of a social contract regarding France in sort of like the French Revolution, in a sense. You read Diderot, and they have very specific notions of what the social contract is because it allows for legitimation and the definition of sovereignty within a governing structure that becomes a state or a nation. And
are you saying the social contract exists?
To understand how we become, let's say, the argument that, you know, we never agreed to this, when we're born and our parents have our footprint made and our birth certificate is signed, that actually may be interpreted as sort of a bit of a social contract. Or
it may be, but that wouldn't have any familiarity with what any other contract looks like, as Julia pointed out earlier.
Good
in a contract, you have to present, and then you have to agree to the terms. And you can't have your parents do that for you.
De facto, under law, de facto contracts such as your passport, by having citizenship, you are a citizen, you have certain privileges that's conferred upon you, and you can execute these within the country or abroad. And there is a reciprocity regarding that. However, this is where it gets very interesting. What you guys are doing is sort of doing what the social scientists have been doing for the last 140 years, which is the methodological argument between the subjective and the objective. Objectively, government, citizenship, the state, governments do exist, and they're also codified by their capacity to define property, to control property, to tax, to raise armies, and also by treaties with other governments or nations. So objectively, these institutions can't be negated. Now,
actually, objectively, they don't exist. Objectively, all you have are individuals, Frank. Individuals. All you have are individuals. If you look at it objectively,
no, you don't.
No,
you have a tradition. We've had governments prior to any of our births.
I don't see why that justifies government.
Legitimate governments that have been able to codify law, that have been able to define property, and that have been able to define responsibilities.
How do you define a legitimate government?
Citizens.
How do you define a legitimate government?
That's very interesting, because legitimate government, I would make the case historically that was actually done back in the period from 1776 to 1789 in this country, because we may say that, you know, the birth of the government or the devolution or the ending of sovereignty would allow us to participate in that discourse. But the quote-unquote legitimate government that was formed happened over 230 years before our births, or I should say before
How does one
day.
Form a legitimate government, sir? Just a bunch of guys
repeat?
Sitting in a room writing stuff down on paper?
Repeat. I couldn't hear you. Please repeat.
How does one form this so-called legitimate government? Is it a certain number of people sitting around in a room? Where are the rules that dictate what is and what is not a legitimate
in
government?
In this country, would be our Constitution, whereby sovereignty is defined not
sir,
in the government or the individual,
a piece of
but
paper.
In the Constitution itself.
Look at the facts. The Constitution is a piece of paper with writing on it, written by
My
a bunch
friend,
of guys a couple hundred
fact.
Years ago.
You have to now begin to read. I would suggest this. Look at Bishop's text, Key Text, International Law. And if you go through the various cases of the first third of the book, you'll begin to see how government and how legitimacy is defined not only within a specific
Come on,
government,
Frank. You and I both know a legitimate government
nations.
Is one that has a bunch of guns. Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Julia, you had kind of jumped in and he kept going. What were you getting
well,
at?
I've heard this twice tonight, and it's, well, we have to have government, and government is okay because we've always had government. And I don't see how that is connected at all.
That's
just
circular
because,
reasoning.
Right. Just because we've always been oppressed doesn't mean that we have to continue to be or that it's right.
Right. The gentleman that called in earlier said, well, back to tribal times, they had their tribal leaders. Well, just because they did something back when we were in tribes doesn't mean it's a good idea to continue today. Haven't we moved beyond that?
Well, I'm not sure about the terms legitimacy and of government and that kind of thing. I don't know whether government's legitimate or not, because 99% of the people say that this is the way things are. Then, you know, I guess that has some legitimacy, and then
I bet if you were
some too.
Yeah, I bet if you were a black man in you know the early part of this country's existence, you wouldn't consider the government very legitimate, would you?
I think you'd be running from them whenever you could, and that's what it really comes down to, is the practicality. Practically speaking, smaller governments are more practical for freedom and liberty than large ones.
More people want to talk about this. Hang through the news. We'll get to you. 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full-spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.